morning. We're continuing this morning in the study of Nehemiah. We've been studying from Nehemiah for the last few weeks. If you don't mind this morning, I want to go straight to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. Use your phones or whatever devices. It's also on the screen. Nehemiah 8. We're going to read the first through the third verses of the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. It says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. The second verse says, so on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon. As he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand, all of the people listened attentively to the book of the law. I heard a story once about a preacher who visited a church. Actually, this preacher belonged to the church in the story, and he was kind of a long-winded speaker. He would speak sometimes for hours. One Sunday, for some reason, he got up before the congregation and said, I don't know what to preach about today. I don't know what to preach about. And there was an old guy sitting in the back who, you know, one of those old guys without a filter, and spoke what he felt. He stood up and said, preach about 5 minutes and sit down. First service got that one, but that's okay. Let me tell you another one then. There was a minister that delivered a 30-minute sermon one Sunday morning. Now, 30 minutes was about half of what he usually does in time when he delivers a message. He told the congregation, I regret to inform you that my dog, who is very fond of eating paper, ate the portion of my sermon which I was unable to deliver to you this morning. After the service, a woman visiting the church came to him and shook his hand and gave him the greeting of the day, and she said to him, if that dog of yours has any puppies, I want one to give to my minister. All right. And hearing those two stories, I wonder how those two people would have felt had they been in service for about 6 hours from sunup to noon, listening to the reading of the Bible and preaching. Not only that, during that time, the people stood up the whole time in the square and listened for hours to the Word of God. Not only that, according to the scripture we just read, if you read a little further, you'll see that they came back the next day to do it all over again. That was the remarkable situation that we read about here in Nehemiah 8. Now, let's review for a moment. I want to review because statistics say that 80% of the congregation only remembers 10% of a sermon by the time they get to the parking lot. So I want to review just for a moment what we've covered so far in this series. We know, first of all, that Nehemiah worked for the king. He was the king's cupbearer, very important job in the kingdom. And we know that Israel, the city of Jerusalem, was in ruins. The wall was torn down, and everything was in disarray. And Nehemiah came to the king, asked for permission to rebuild the wall. All right. Now we find here in the sixth chapter that the wall is finally completed. Then in the seventh chapter, the city is now organized. And in the eighth chapter, where we are today, it gives emphasis on the switch from building the wall around the city to building up the people within the city. What we see happen here in chapter 8 is true revival. Revival is evangelism. Revival is stirring up the coals that and rekindling of a fire. Now, I want you to know today that revival is good. We are, as a people, as believers, at every once in a while, we need to be revived. I don't know about you, but I remember the experience when I first accepted Christ. When I first accepted Christ in my heart, I was excited about my newfound love. I was excited about the fact that I found salvation. But as time goes on, we get complacent in our deliverance and our freedom, and we forget where we came from. But how, I don't know about you, but do you remember when you first decided that this thing is what I need? I need Jesus in my life. I'm going to give my life to Christ. I don't know about you, but it was an exciting moment for me. My mother, back in the old church that I belonged to, she said that when she received Christ, everything around her reminded her of the fact that she had Christ in her life. She said when she washed clothes, the washing machine sounded like it was saying Jesus. The trees, when they blew in the wind, it seems like they were waving at God himself. Do you remember when you first came to Christ? And where you are now, you will realize that it is time for revival. So that's where these people was. Of course, the material needs of the city have been met. Now it is time to focus on the spiritual needs of the people. It's important for us to note that Ezra and Nehemiah put the word of God first in the life of the city. And then what happened in Jerusalem from that point was a byproduct of the people's response to the word. The eighth chapter of Nehemiah is about spiritual revival. It is about spiritual insight. It is about spiritual perspective. And it is about new birth. It is a story of long ago, but it is also a story for me and you today. I once heard a story or read a book. I'm not sure where I got it from, but I think it will help us understand what I'm trying to say today. In this story, there was a man. He was a FedEx worker, and he was on a plane going to deliver packages, and the plane crashed, and he found himself deserted on an island in the middle of nowhere. And he had to live on the island without food. And he had to live off the land. And he had to suffer through the elements of that island. It was a hard time for 5 years stranded on an island all by himself. No way to communicate. He was hungry. He had to hunt for food. He had to learn things in order to survive. The story goes on to say that at some point, the man was rescued, and when he got home, he had an old, dirty, waterlogged package in his hand, and he decided that he would deliver that package. Went to a lady's house, knocked on the door, and when she opened the door, he stood there with that package in his hand, and he said, "I've been stranded on an island for 5 years, but I had to do my job and deliver this package to you." The woman looked at him and said, "Thank you." But his curiosity got to him, and he wanted to know what was in that package that he had kept safe on the deserted island for 5 years. She opened the package to show him the contents of the package. And in that package was a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, some beef jerky and canned goods, seeds, and a Big Mac. I just threw that in there. Like the contents in this package, the resources of growth and strength are available to every Christian that takes advantage of it. However, we need to open the package. The Word of God is that package. The Word of God has every resource, everything we need to succeed as believers in Christ. Every situation you find yourself in, everything is in the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you. A lot of you may not remember. Some of you younger people, there was a time when we didn't have navigation. Believe it or not. Me as a driver, you remember we had to have a map. And you remember how that map folded in about 100 different ways. You never could fold it back the way it was when you first got it. But you had to look at that map to get where you needed to go. I'm the kind of person, or I was at that time, I didn't like to look at maps. I didn't like to get directions. My wife and I, we would drive around and around, and she would say, ask somebody. Stop at a, you know, we used to have to stop at a gas station to get directions. Y'all remember that? She'd say, stop and get directions. But no, I wanted to find my own way. Same thing with putting things together. We go to IKEA, right? And we get this, what do you call it? IKEA, yes. Big old store. And you know, you look at that bookshelf and it looks real good all put together at the store. So, yes, I want that bookshelf. It'll fit well in my home. But when you get it, it's in a box or several boxes. And it's about 1,800 screws in that box and 5 pages of directions. Now, me, I think I can put it together without the directions. So I get to work, and I put it together, and by the time I'm done, for some reason, it does not look like the bookshelf that was in the store. And the other thing is, I still have about 1,000 screws left. We don't want to be that kind of believer. Everything we need, the directions to a successful life in Christ, is in the Word. The directions are there. The map is there. All we have to do is open it up every once in a while and follow what thus said the Lord. Now, are we going to be perfect? I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. I am not without blame. I am not without sin. I often tell people that when you become a believer, you don't become sinless. You just sin less. However, when you sin, the Bible will let you know that you are forgiven. You won't know it if you don't open the Word or hear the Word of God. The enemy will convict you to think that you've sinned and it's all over. But the Word of God is not so. The Word of God says that you are forgiven today, tomorrow. When you accept Christ, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. But in order to understand those directions, you have to be like these people in Israel at this time. They received the Word of God. The Bible says that they came together to receive the Word of God. They were hungry for the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever been hungry. I've been hungry. I have went without food for a little while. I'm not talking about missing a lunch or maybe your French fries are supposed to have been a large, but they gave you a small instead. I'm not talking about that. I mean hungry where your stomach growls and you feel weak and you get a hunger headache. And you desire food. And once you eat, the headache goes away. Your stomach stops growling. I stop by to tell you, if you're hungry for the Word of God, if you're starving, once you open the book and you begin to eat, your stomach, your spirit man will stop hurting because it is satisfied by the word of God. Oh, I'd love to hear amens. Listen, Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. So let me back up. There is five reasons or five responses we should have to the word of God. And we can find those in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. Let's go through five. Number one, we must give attention to the word of God. The people gave attention to the word of God. The scripture lets us know that they came to the square, every man and woman, and they stood and listened for hours to the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask questions for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek for them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Then there's a scripture in Isaiah 55:3 that says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you an unfailing love that I promised to David. But too many times we as Christians, we do not pay close enough attention to God's word or to his voice. Now, I would say this to you. I don't know about you, but I've heard people say when talking about God, they say, God spoke to me just like I'm speaking to you today. I haven't experienced that yet. God has not opened the clouds and said, hey, Don. However, he speaks to us through his word. There is no new revelation, no new story to tell. Everything that we need is covered in the word of God. It's better than navigation. It gets you there by reading the word of God. Amen. Number two, we must appreciate the word of God. Another story I heard, a little boy came to his father and he had the Bible, the family Bible that he had gotten off the coffee table. He walks up to his dad and said, what is this, Dad? Dad said, it's the Bible. It's God's book. The son looked at his dad and said, then we should give it back since we never use it. Nehemiah's people, the children of Israel, desired to hear the word of God. More than food, more than gold, more than treasures, they wanted to hear what thus said the Lord. Keep in mind, they didn't have their own copies of the Bible. They didn't have a bookstore on every corner. They didn't have Bibles in their churches. Most of them only heard the word when someone stood and read it publicly. For 70 years, they were under captivity in Babylon. The people did not have access to scripture, the book of the law, or the book of the law that we're talking about today. Whatever they knew of God in their faith came from memories of the past. By this time, they probably had forgotten more than they remember. But when they were in the square after the walls were built and the men of God began to read the word of God, their spirit was rekindled and they were reminded of their past experiences with God. And that's what the word does. The word encourages, it rekindles, it gives insight. if you don't understand the situation you're in, if you feel lonely, the Bible will inspire you. For it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When you feel sad, when you feel fear, you are no longer a slave to fear. The Bible lets you know that you're free from fear. When they heard the word, they were moved by tears. They were emotional because of the good news. What a hunger they had. They didn't have their own copies, but they wanted to hear. They respected it enough to prepare everyone to hear it. They stood out of respect for the word of God. They appreciated it, the word of God. And keep in mind, those people in that time, in that part of the world, in that time in the Bible, they only had the law. But today, we have grace. We're no longer under the law, but we are under the new covenant. If they got that excited about the law, we have grace. We can read things like John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not. Not maybe. There's a slight possibility. Perhaps. But it said they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then it doesn't stop there. Because we're under the new covenant, it says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Nehemiah 8:7 says, the Levites were standing to hear the instruction of the law. Nehemiah 8:8 says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and given the meaning so that people could understand what was being said. It is important that we understand and appreciate the word of God. We don't have to make the word of God relevant in our life. It is already. Every situation you are in, God has a word for you. Keep the Bible open in your heart. Expose yourself to the word and let him address every problem in your life. God gave the people, the word of God gave the people of Israel an extreme makeover. I looked at a TV show called Extreme Makeovers. I don't know if you've seen it, but they have people that go in and they're playing and they look one way, but after the makeover, they look like a totally different person. That's what the word of God, that's what the experience of salvation does. It gives us a makeover, an extreme makeover. Because they felt overwhelmed by a sense of their ignorance and shortcomings, as they realized how far from God there was, how far Israel had fallen. But when they heard the word, when they heard the law, they realized the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. Nehemiah encouraged them by saying, do not be saddened by this, but rejoice in the Lord. Praise him. Third thing, we need to apprehend the word of God. We need to understand. The scripture says to us, in all your getting, get an understanding. How do we get an understanding? We get an understanding by studying the word of God. We get an understanding by attending our small group Bible study. We get an understanding by attending Bible study, by seeking and asking God for an understanding. Amen? It is important that we understand our spiritual lives and how we talk to God and how we associate with God. It is important that we do so, and we do so by hearing the word of God. The fourth thing is we must be changed by the word of God. When the word arrests us, it brings conviction and joy. We will have joy because conviction leads to confession. We will have joy because confession leads to cleansing. We will have joy because cleansing leads to celebrating. The Bible reveals it is not spiritual knowledge we're after. It is God that we're after. Being educated about the word of God is wonderful. To go to seminary and learn the word of God is great. But if you don't apply it, if you're only hearers of the word and not doers of the word, it is important that we become doers of the word. The second part of chapter 8 tells us that they heeded to the word and held fast to its laws. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It enlightens and brings conviction when the truth of God's word is read or proclaimed. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Number five, we must pledge allegiance to the word of God. We must be dedicated and committed to what the Bible says. We must be committed to what God says through his word. As I come to a close, I want to say to you today that the word of God, as I said, is our answer. It is the map. It is the plan. It is what God has laid out. Everything that we need is there. Let's devote ourselves and study and learn the word of God. It is the word of God that tells us that we are no longer bound by sin. God has died and rose again that we have a right to the tree of life. Our sins are forgiven. Our past sins, our future sins are forgiven and covered by the blood. There's a song that I heard sing. It's not necessarily biblical, but it has good application. The song talks about a man or we as people preparing or are coming before a judge. And the judge has a book in his hand. And every sin that we've committed is in that book. And you're being on trial based on the sins you've committed. Everything you've done against the will of God is found in the pages of that book. And you stand before a judge, and the judge opens the book, and he looks at the book, and he looks at the jury and said, "I cannot read this book." The jury says, "Why can't you read the book?" And the judge says, "Because the pages are covered by blood. I can't even see the words. The page is a blood stain." Oh, that might not be biblical in that sense, but it is so true. Everything that we've done, every sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he a great Savior? I say to you, study the word. Live in the word. Abide by the word. And true revival will come. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the new covenant in your word. We ask you to bless us as we go from this place. Help us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.